passage this morning comes from the Gospel of John. So if you could please stand. I'm actually going to read directly from the screen. John 3, 1 through 3 and 16 through 17. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have what? Eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the glorious and beautiful people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Ashley's leaving because she's already heard this sermon once. Let us pray. Loving God, you delight in showing us your kingdom, a place of blessing, a place of light, a place of spirit and truth. May we be born anew in your spirit that we might see the glory you have in store for us and for the world. For you sent your son into the world not to condemn us or put us to shame, but that we might have life and have it abundantly. And all of God's children said, amen. I have a story, just a quick story I'd like to tell. A woman went into the doctor's office where she was seen by one of the new doctors. But after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out screaming as she ran down the hall. An older doctor stopped her and asked what the problem was. And she told him her story. After listening, he had her sit down and told her to go and relax in another room. The older doctor marched down the hallway to the back where the first doctor was and demanded, "What is the matter with you? Mrs. Terry is 63 years old, has 4 grown children and 7 grandchildren, and you told her she was pregnant." The new doctor continued to write on his clipboard, and without looking up, he said, "Does she still have the hiccups?" I knew it would take some of y'all a minute. I love this story because what happens to Mrs. Terry remains a mystery. We don't know. We may think we know. There is a knowledge of what happens, but we're not privy to that. We don't have the details, and we're left to wonder, and in this case, to laugh. And you know, laughter in these present days is so very important and so very good. As we build our faith for the journey, experiencing God along the way, we too are left in wonder, embracing spiritual renewal and the power of new life, but at the same time, not rushing into Easter, but seriously taking the reality of life and our faith in the here and now. Waiting in the already, you know about the resurrection story of Easter, but living in the not yet. How do we live into what it means to have an abundant life in Christ? John's gospel sets this narrative tone and context. Right before we're introduced to Nicodemus, we are reminded that Jesus is in Jerusalem. And many believe in his name because they saw the miraculous signs. We are dropped into the midst of the Jewish Passover festival. And at this moment, the disciples are not mentioned, and we have no idea of their whereabouts. So we find ourselves privy to an intimate conversation between Jesus and a man who is immediately introduced as a leader of the Jews. Nicodemus is someone who pretty much has everything: wealth, power, status, and knowledge. But to me, he is a sympathetic character who comes by night to visit Jesus, perhaps out of fear that his reputation will be questioned, or perhaps witnessing the crowds throughout the day and truly desiring a one-on-one that he decides to go at night. Nicodemus is a man who is curious and inquisitive enough to begin an intimate faith journey toward the one whom he acknowledged as rabbi, as teacher, and the one who comes from God. See, this text in many ways mirrors our own lives. Some of you may see yourselves like Nicodemus. You may acknowledge and have knowledge of the scriptures. You may be self-confident and even a leader in the community. Your faith may be open and curious, and your relationship with God is still quite private. Your genuine, deep, heartfelt, and personal faith may have you journeying and serving not at night, but in the background. This may sound a bit odd, but many times we concentrate on the verse that asks the question, what does it mean to be born again, and not take a look at the man who resembles us in so many ways. Our faith for the journey is our belief in action. It is our faithful activity as we move closer to Christ. See, Jesus in this gospel is taking Nicodemus into a whole new realm of possibility, a new way of thinking, a new way of constructing the world and defining his life. This pilgrimage in chapter 3 begins under the cover of darkness, where Jesus and Nicodemus are in a Q&A style dialogue. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's possible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" As Jesus answers his inquiry, we are witnesses to where Nicodemus is challenged to deal with the critical difficulties, not theological or Christological difficulties, not the Christianese nor insider speak for the Christian life, but what it means to expand his knowledge beyond what he already knows. This is a challenge for each of us as well on the second Sunday in Lent. You are on a journey, a pilgrimage to the cross with Jesus. And on this journey, I hope like Nicodemus, you find yourself at or moving toward a crossroad where your faith may only occupy its own sphere and is separate from the other areas of your life. See, you may acknowledge your love for God. You may acknowledge that you're spiritually curious, but skeptical to take your courage, your compassion, and your generosity into a world where there is suffering, fear, hate, and pain in the midst of God's abundant love and grace. See, according to the text, it may seem as if Nicodemus was not ready to declare his faith in the light of day. But as we move through this Lenten season, we will see him again at the cross. It may seem as if he was not prepared to let it transform his life. But again, we will see his belief in action at the end of the cross. See, he acknowledged Jesus as a teacher at the beginning and as the one who comes from God. But by coming at night, it seems as if his faith was secret and separate from the rest of his world. Yet he remained on this journey. See, faith and believing are not merely a matter of mental affirmation, but a life commitment. When we compartmentalize our faith, we overshadow witnessing what it means to live a transparent life. It means tolerance is not love or acceptance. It's just that, tolerance. See, this passage invites us to experience what's to come, an invitation to open our imaginations and reconsider our relationship with God, and how we're called to witness through this relationship to others. Jesus having this Q&A with Nicodemus is challenging his thought of what it means to live by faith and not by sight. See, he is inviting Nicodemus to deepen his faith, to go beyond the signs he has seen, and to live his faith out in the light of Jesus, and not under the cover of darkness. See, when looking at this passage, it's easy to overlook the process Jesus is laying out for Nicodemus to be transparent in his life, to be transparent in his faith. See, three times Nicodemus makes a statement or asks a question. You guys need to follow me close here. And each time Jesus responds with an answer. Our CEB translation says he answered beginning with, "I assure you." The NRSV says, "or very truly." But depending upon your translation, that doesn't matter. What he is really saying is truly, truly, which is the equivalent of an amen or I agree with you. In verse 2, we hear, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can do those signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, or I assure you," saying, "I agree with you, but I also tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." In verse 4, Nicodemus said, "How can anyone be born again after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I assure you." He is saying, "I agree with you, but also I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit." And the same happens in verses 9 through 11. But not only does Jesus affirm the statement by saying, "I agree with you," he affirms Nicodemus's questions. He affirms his doubts expressed by Nicodemus, but he also challenges him to go deeper than what he already knows. This journey is taking your deep, heartfelt, genuine faith out of the darkness, hidden away, and bringing it into the light of Christ. See, Jesus gives us permission to cultivate our doubts, permission to ask questions, permission to have skepticism, and during this Lenten season, to open our imaginations and reconsider our relationship with God. It's okay to ask, but come to Jesus. See, this is an invitation to not only see God in your life, but to let God work in and through you, to lead and to live a more transparent life. See, Jesus invites Nicodemus, as he invites each of us, to come into the light of day and become full participants in the abundant life he offers. We are reborn so that we can live, not just biologically, not just existing or surviving, but living abundant lives, willing to acknowledge that being born again means being born from above and believing in Jesus. Clearly, it is not so much about how much we know, about what we do with our mind. Clearly, it's about what one does with one's heart and one's life. Faith for the journey is to have life. A life that lives on purpose and has meaning, not for our sake, but for the sake of the world. To have a life that is ruled by love rather than selfishness. See, this journey is a new beginning, where out of the darkness, our faith leads us into the light. We are being called in these moments to cultivate God's grace, to cultivate God's love, because part of our faith is doing just that. I'm done, but I just have one more thing to say. Several more things, actually. Maybe this whole journey, this whole pilgrimage, this whole process is simply coming to Jesus, just as you are. Coming with your questions, coming with your skepticism, coming with your doubts, but still on your way to Jesus, where you will be challenged to go beyond what you already think you know. Come to Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Simply come to Jesus. That's our faith in action. And that's our faith in the journey. Come to Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, wow, that passage is full of just life and reflection and love and grace and questions and doubts and knowledge. But Lord, you desire our hearts more than anything. We can learn all that we want, but if our hearts aren't willing to come to you, that's all we are learned people. And Lord, we are thankful for you shining that light through this talk with Nicodemus, through this question and answer session. We thank you, for you are an awesome and loving God. You are a God of forgiveness, and you love us just where we are. Yeah, you challenge us to come to you. Lord, may we hear that challenge and come to you. It's just that simple, and allow you to do the rest. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen.